Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Play Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of the downtown Phoenix Convention Center, this is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We welcome you in across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We're sponsored today by Werner. Werner is the official ladder of NCAA March Madness and the official ladder of construction professionals everywhere. Reach new heights with Werner, available nationally at the Home Depot. We have an action-packed show for you today. We'll have a ton of guests stopping by. We'll be joined today by PJ Carlissimo, Greg Gard, the head basketball coach at Wisconsin, Princeton assistant coach Brett McConnell, longtime friend of mine, Clark Kellogg, Earl Grant at BC, Phil Martelli, the legendary college basketball coach, that will be joined by former UConn, former Kentucky player in Jamal Mashburn, and then obviously Tobin Anderson, who is now at Iona and last year was one of the stars of the NCAA tournament with his epic upset with Fairleigh Dickinson taking down Purdue. And now you have the Purdue redemption story as we gear up for the men's Final Four that will come your way tomorrow evening, as you do have Purdue going up against, in the big matchup of Zach Edey and then NC State's DJ Burns. And then on the other side of the bracket, you have the UConn Huskies going up against Alabama. And you have the women's tournament tonight, which I'm really excited for, as you get the great matchup between Iowa's Caitlin Clark. And we all know what she's been able to do and the way that she's been able to really captivate all of our attention. And you go up against UConn with Gina Auriemma and Paige Beckers. And on the other side, you have the undefeated South Carolina basketball team going up against NC State, as you double dip with the men's and the women's program for UConn and NC State, both in the men's and women's Final Four. So a whole lot cooking today, and we actually got to start the show with Bronny James. And it's weird. I know we did not ignite this conversation, and we didn't spark this conversation, but about 4 or 5 days ago, I think it was on Monday, where I kind of sat on the air, and we were talking about the inevitable departure of Andy Enfield going from USC to Arkansas. And I said, isn't it weird? Isn't it bizarre that we haven't heard anything yet about Bronny James? And there's this idea that he could go to the NBA draft. There's also this idea that Bronny James could hit the transfer portal and maybe go somewhere else, or maybe, just maybe, he would return to USC. Well, we don't really have the answer today because all options are still on the table, but we could eliminate the option in all likelihood of him staying at USC, because the breaking news from earlier this morning is that Bronny James is going to enter the 2024 NBA draft. He is still going to maintain his college eligibility, and he will also enter the transfer portal. Now, there is a cutoff in late May, I think it is May 29th, where Bronny James has to decide if he is going to either maintain this dream and this journey of going into the NBA draft. And I know if you don't get drafted, and that's been a newer rule as of late, you could come back. But if Bronny James is going to have the ability to get drafted, somebody is going to take the chance on him. So you either have to go to the NBA draft and then you're going to start your NBA career, or it's going to be by May 29th, you come back to college and then we find out what school Bronny James is going to transfer to. But the reason why this is so intriguing is because of the whole LeBron James factor. And I don't want to say it's kind of the dark cloud hanging over the league, because it's a little bit ominous, but there is a cloud that's hanging over the league about the future of LeBron James and what LeBron James is going to do. Because if he wants, he could get on up out of LA this summer and he could go find a new team. So a lot of that would be based on, obviously, his dream, and if that is also his son's dream, of wanting to be on the same team in the professional ranks. But when I go through this, and I'm not going to pretend to be an expert when I'm not an expert on something, but right now, I just don't think Bronny James is ready to go into the NBA. And I know he had the unfortunate heart situation over the summer, and that was terrible to see, and I'm glad that he was able to get through it, and his minutes were not as you would expect them to be this past year at USC, and you hear about the potential, and you hear about what he could be. It's almost, and this isn't a fair comparison, but it's almost similarly the way that we talk about J.J. McCarthy's draft stock, where people are like, oh, he'll be this, he'll be that. I know there's a lot more tape. I know that J.J. McCarthy, right, obviously, is not the son of LeBron James, so there's different dynamics in there. But that's kind of the feel that you get, is people are talking about the potential and what you haven't seen from Bronny James and what he could develop into once he gets into the NBA. But I think the best place for him to develop and the best place for him to get some serious minutes next year is actually staying in college. And that's why I think it would behoove him greatly to go back to college, and it doesn't look like he's going to be going back to USC. I know USC, and we saw the video yesterday, the must bus getting on the private jet. I guess he doesn't need the bus anymore when you go from Arkansas to USC, from one big program to another big program, and there's all the speculation on who's going to be the next Arkansas coach with the pig sueys and the Razorbacks and all that, and there's some thoughts that it could actually be Jerome Tang. But I actually don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world if Bronny comes back to college and then Bronny James goes to a smaller type of program that's still in Division I. And there is an easy, and I mean an easy layup, slam dunk potential destination for Bronny James to land for this upcoming season in college basketball if he, in fact, does withdraw himself from the draft process and wants to continue this journey and just have it delayed going pro another year and going back to college. And that's going to Duquesne. And I know people are going to say, Zach, come on. This is LeBron James' son. He's not going to Duquesne. But you got to remember, and we had Drew Joyce III on the other day. Drew Joyce is the new head basketball coach at Duquesne. And he is lifelong friends with LeBron James. They were on the same high school team. So I could easily see LeBron advising Bronny, if in fact Bronny goes back to college, to go play for Drew Joyce III. And you know that LeBron has that family type of connection and the longtime friend connection with the new head coach of Duquesne. So that's what I think should happen. And I'm going to sit here today and say that will happen. But from what we do and from a national landscape and from a storyline kind of perspective as well, the juiciest storyline for us in what we do is to see Bronny James not only keep himself in the draft, him get drafted, not get drafted by the Lakers, and then this creates this domino effect of will LeBron James team up with his son? And this is the one thing we don't know in this entire scenario. LeBron James's vision is to one day play in the NBA with his son. We have seen him pull back from that a little bit with how outspoken he was about it in the last year. We've seen him kind of revert and say, that's my dream. I got to see if it's my son's dream as well. And I am fascinated by that potential dynamic of will Bronny James want to start his NBA career in a locker room when his dad is in there? Because isn't there part of you that says, okay, when you've been in the shadow of your dad forever, and obviously a lot of good comes with that, and you're always known as LeBron James's son, you'll always be known as LeBron James's son, does a part of you, when you start this professional journey, do you want to kind of carve out the path away from your father? Do you not want dad with you in the locker room? And I think that answer is an intriguing dynamic, because if that is in fact the case, then maybe some teams don't view Bronny James as a lottery pick, because he still needs a lot of development. We haven't seen a lot of him on the basketball court. But if you go into the draft process making it known that there's a good chance you draft me, my dad will sign with you in this offseason, then yeah, you bet your ass it is going to make the stock of Bronny James quickly rise. Because if you're one of these smaller markets and you have trouble drawing fans into the stands, and you could get LeBron James on borrowed time, which, what, he may only play another year or two at most, I would have to say, because even LeBron, in his own admission the other day, said, you know, the end of his career is sooner rather than later. Like, he's not going to go play for another half decade or another 6 or 7 years or whatever it is. Like, we forget LeBron is about to turn 40 years old coming up in the winter. So if you do make those intentions clear that now is the time and you're going to stick through and you are going to enter the draft and you're not going to revert back to college and this is a final decision, which right now it isn't, that's the big question. That's the big domino to fall. Does Bronny James actually want to play on the same team and be in the same locker room as his father? Because if that's the case, and that answer is yes, I guarantee you, there's going to be a team in the top 10 of the draft that's going to say, let's go select Bronny James, because that means we're also going to be able to latch on to LeBron James, and we'll see if Bronny can make it in the league, but if not, at least we get 2 years of an all-time great and the second greatest player of all time in LeBron James in that locker room, and you know what that could bring to a franchise. We know what that could bring from a marketing standpoint, merchandise, ticket sales, and so on and so on. And that's something that a lot of teams, just from a business model, would be highly, and I mean highly, intrigued by. So ultimately, we sit here today and we try to figure out what's going to happen, and it's all speculation. And the way that this new system is, it's very in favor of the player, where just because you go and enter the draft doesn't mean that you're actually going to go through with the entire process. So now Bronny James, the clock is ticking, where he has left all doors open, he's left all options on the table, where Bronny James enters the 2024 NBA draft, but he does maintain his college eligibility, and he's also going to enter the transfer portal. So now we have to see the dominoes fall, and will Bronny James continue through this process, or will he end up coming back to college, and then it turns into, well, which school is Bronny James going to end up selecting if he does, in fact, stay in the college game? And now joining us is a longtime coach, does a phenomenal job for Westwood One, and that is P.J. Carlissimo, kind enough to join us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, broadcasting from Phoenix, the site of the Final Four. Coach, always great to see you. How are you?
Good to be with you guys. It's always great. The Final Four, it's always great. I'm liking this Final Four. Obviously, I like the teams, and I appreciate ESPN lets me go. I do NBA most of the year, and they give me these 3.5 weeks off to work with Westwood One, and it's my college fix. I love it.
Let me ask you, because we opened up the show talking about Bronny James, who announced today that he's going to enter the NBA draft, but he's still going to leave the options on the table for a return to college, and he's hitting the transfer portal as well. Since you've had the college background as a coach and also the pro background, what would you kind of advise him right now? Do you think he's ready to go to the NBA and stick through with this?
No, he's not ready to go to the NBA right now, but, you know, it doesn't matter if a team – very few of the guys are. We're taking kids in the NBA now that you would have never taken in the past, but it's just you're betting on their upside. They're too young. It's one of the biggest challenges of coaching in the NBA right now. There's so many guys coming in that are not ready to play in the NBA, and I'm not saying that college is the be-all and end-all, but, I mean, the guys in the past that played 2 or 3 years at college, particularly at a – you know, real competitive place. It's not the same, whether it was the G League now or, you know, the Ignite are not there. Or, you know, guys have come in. Don't get me wrong. There's exceptions. Guys come out of playing in Australia, playing internationally. But, like, when you see a guy like Luka come over, or when you see Nikola Jokic, this guy's been playing professionally for so long. Bronny's he's a great body. He really knows how to play basketball. I'm a fan of Bronny's. It was a tough year this year. USC, the team, had a tough year. Bronny didn't have a tough year. Andy Enfield's not a good coach. He's an excellent coach. Preseason, we all thought. I do Pac-12 Network also. I should say Pac-12 Network also. But everybody thought USC would be 1 or 2 in the league, with the guys they had returning, plus the, you know, Kyer, Bronny, the guys they brought in. And it just didn't work out. So it was a tough year for him. If somebody feels that Bronny is going to be as good as he can be, and that his upside is really significant because he looks like a man already. He's a young guy.
What do you think his upside is?
Well, I think there's no limit to his upside. He's going to continue to work. I mean, I don't know if he can work as hard as his father works. There's been very few in the history of our game that works, takes care of his body, and does the things that LeBron does to excel. It's not an accident. LeBron James is as great a player as he is. He deserves everything because he works at it, takes better care of his body, and is so committed to being the best basketball player in the world. Can Bronny follow that? I don't know. If some team feels, hey, this is legitimate, LeBron wants to play with Bronny, if we draft Bronny, we got a chance to see these two guys together. That's putting, you know, Bronny on the side for a second. But, I mean, Bronny is not somebody who can't play in the NBA. He just hasn't had the chance to show what he's capable of now. And it's good that he can sample, you know, that he's going to be able to go through even workouts with NBA teams, go into portal, maybe stay at USC with Mus. I don't, you know, you got a former NBA coach that's there that would be a great guy to be able to coach him, or maybe he goes somewhere else where he thinks he's got a better opportunity to play. I think, you know,
what do you think about this? How about Duquesne? Because the Drew Joyce the Third connection. I've been floating this out ever since we had Drew on the show 2 days ago before we even found out about the portal with Bronny.
Well, there's no question. I mean, that you know, such a great coach. There's the connection is there. There's no question. I think Seton Hall, fresh off an NIT championship, I think Seton Hall would be a great
Shaheen Holloway. Excellent.
I get Shah on the phone right now. I'm sure he could find a place for him. But Bron has said it best. Bron said, "Hey, he's a man. He's going to make his own decision. Well, is he going to talk to LeBron? Of course, he's going to talk to LeBron. He's going to talk to the family. He's going to talk to Rich Paul and his advisors. I think he'll make the right decision. But I think literally it can go down three paths, and it remains to be seen. But he is a better basketball player than people have seen so far. He has great, great instincts. I love his passing, his defense, the reads he makes. If he chooses to stay in college, I think people are going to see more what he's capable of.
Coach PJ Carlissimo here with us for a few more moments. With the four teams remaining, so you have obviously UConn is the team to beat, and then you look at Alabama, NC State, and Purdue. Will any of those three teams give UConn a game from now until the end of Monday night?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to be surprised if there's good games. I don't think UConn can continue to dominate. When you get to a Final Four, you get four teams that are playing, as UConn was last year. People forget, UConn wasn't a number one seed, wasn't a juggernaut when they came in. And I happen to have all six of their games. I was in Albany for the first round when they beat Iona, and I can't remember who they beat. I think Indiana. I forget who they beat in the second round. And then we had them when they beat Arkansas and Gonzaga in Las Vegas in the West Regional, and, of course, the two games in Houston. It wasn't expected. Those six games, they were far and away the best team in the country at this point last year. They've been that most of this year, but so has Purdue and so has Houston. They were the three best teams all year. There's a chance we're going to get two number ones to play. Now, they both have games on their hands tomorrow. But, I mean, we could end up with a one versus a one, Purdue versus UConn. But NC State, I was with them in Dallas last week. Their backcourt just took Marquette and Duke's backcourt out of the game, and they both have exceptional backcourts. I think if they can do that and really slow down Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, that's, you know, you're not going to do much with Zach Edey. But if they can really, you know, impact Purdue's backcourt, then NC State has a shot. They're defending as well as anybody in the country right now. They've won nine straight elimination games. They're capable, and they really believe that they're capable. And Alabama is very talented. Nate Oates is not a good coach. He's a great coach. And one of the things I like, Zach, that really impresses me, you got three guys that coached double-digit years in high school. You know, Nate Oates at Romulus High School, Danny 1 year at St. Anthony's and then at St. Benedict's Prep, and Kevin Keats at Hargrave Academy. You got three guys who spent double-digit years coaching in high school, and even Matt Painter didn't coach in high school but spent 11 years before he got to Purdue at Washington and Jefferson, at Eastern Illinois, at Southern Illinois. So I love the dues, if you will, and the sharpening that these four guys did before they got these great opportunities at these great schools now. So I'm really happy for them that they're here, three of them for the first time, Danny for the second time, and I hope the games live up to the hype.
Well, hey, if they don't live up to the hype, I think the women's will, because the women's game has been unbelievable.
We're going to watch tonight for sure, no question about that.
Yeah, so I can't wait to see Caitlin Clark go up against Orema and UConn. Anyway, Coach, always great to see you. Thanks so much for doing this.
Great being with you. Thank you very much.
He is PJ Carlissimo. It is the Zach Gelb Show, Coast to Coast on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard going to be joining us on the show. We'll come on back from Phoenix in a few moments.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Back inside the Phoenix Convention Center, it is the Zach Gelb Show, Coast to Coast on CBS Sports Radio, getting you set for the men's Final Four that comes your way on Saturday evening. Now joining us is the head coach of Wisconsin. He's Greg Gard. Coach, great to see you. How you been?
Good. How you doing, Zach?
Doing fantastic. Let me start you off with your season. You guys get to the NCAA tournament. How do you kind of look back at the year that was for Wisconsin hoops?
We started really well. Started 16-4. Got all the way to the sixth in the country, and then we kind of cratered in February and had a couple guys hurt that I think in the looking back hurt us. And then we bounced back down the stretch of the season, got all the way to the Big Ten tournament championship game and lost that one to Illinois. And then I felt that took a lot out of us, and we hit a really good James Madison team, and our season came to an abrupt end much, much sooner than all of us wanted to.
That Big Ten championship game was absolutely crazy. Do you think there was still a little bit of a carryover effect into that first game of the tournament?
We played six games in 13 days leading into the tourney, and four games in 4 days with Maryland, Northwestern, Purdue, and Illinois all back-to-back. And we had just come from Purdue on the last game of the regular season. So I think that just those meat grinder games took the toll on us a little bit. I don't want to take anything away from James Madison. They're a really good team. They won 32 or 33 games. But there was no doubt. I think how could it not take something out of us? And I thought it showed when we got to Brooklyn, and we weren't as sharp and as in sync as we had been the week before.
That's why I'm blown away by NC State, because right. To win five games in 5 days, and then you win the first weekend, the first two games, and then you have that little layoff, and then you're still able to be that strong. Right. I'm blown away with Kevin.
Yeah, they're a made free throw or a bank three by O'Connell.
Yeah.
You know, and not in overtime for Virginia. And whoever, I think it was McNeely, missed the free throw, the 80-some% free throw shooter. So that's how fine of a line it is. And you run to the other end, and O'Connell banks went in their overtime, and next thing you know, they've won nine in a row and they're still playing.
Talking to Greg Gard right now, head coach of Wisconsin, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So the Purdue victory for you guys was enormous. I know you played them three times, and it took overtime for you to get a victory up against them. Take me through what it's like preparing for that team, and obviously Zach Edey, who back-to-back year is going to be the most important.
Yeah, you can't replicate him. You can't replicate it. As hard as you try, nobody has anybody as big as him. Maybe UConn with their big guy, but you just can't prepare for that. And the other thing is they have way more than just Zach. And they have one of the best point guards in the country in Braden Smith. Lance Jones, a transfer from Southern Illinois, has really given them a spark. And they have a lot of really good pieces around Zach. So, and they also move you in different ways where it's hard to – you have to make decisions. You kind of got to pick your poison. Do you want to send double teams at him? Do you want to not send double teams at him and live with him racking up fouls and playing in the paint? Do you want to, raid him a little bit more and give up threes? And they move him around, and they space the other guys around to really force those decisions and spread you out. So, Matt's always done a good job schematically when it helps when you got a 7'5", 325-pound guy to throw it to. And sometimes you can defend the possession perfectly and they just throw it higher, or he goes and grabs it above everybody as hard as you try. So it's unique in terms of how I think, you know, it took us three times to finally crack the code, so to speak. And the other two games are really close. I think it was 6 at our place and 8 at their place. But finally we were able to stay close enough and make some plays down the stretch, but they're really good and they're here for a reason.
They've always had the talent, but after what they went through last year, I wonder how mentally tough they would be. Like when I look at them and see their mental toughness,
right,
that's what stands out, because yeah, some schools can't overcome that, obviously.
Absolutely. And they're another year older, you know, another year. And I think that they had to face that, as Virginia did a few years ago when they lost to UMBC. And you can turn that one of two ways. You can let it bury you, or you can face it and build for it and build and work through it. And, you know, as I told another show a little earlier, I don't get caught up really in the seed lines that are out, because there's so much parity in college basketball, more parity in men's college basketball than any other sport. And that's why you see all these so-called upsets, because it's a 40-minute one-game series. You know, the Lakers aren't playing the Sioux Falls Skyforce in a one-game playoff, right? They don't even play them, let alone put a one-game tournament on the – make your season on the line. So the three-point line, the transfer portal, all the things that have leveled the playing field, so to speak. And like I said, you have a – game pressure is real. It's hard being that one seed. There's a lot of pressure with that 16 coming at you. And Purdue's been able to handle it really well.
Last thing I'll ask you, Greg Gard. Rivalries are what make college basketball. It's what make college sports. I know you and Juwan Howard got into it a little bit throughout the years. The moment he the moment he gets let go, everyone's like, they're posting the photos of you guys going at it and everything. Just how did you kind of react to the changes going on at Michigan?
I really don't pay that much attention. You know, Juwan, you know, had really good teams there. I know he's battled some health issues, you know, with his heart and stuff. I read an article today actually on the way out here. So just, you know, he's, we all are competitors, and we all get in moments where we wish we would have done something this or that differently. But hey, we're all good. We've talked since, and wish him all the best, and hopefully he gets healthy, and whatever he does next, he'll be fine.
What's the this next chapter of Wisconsin basketball?
Well, the transfer portal. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're dealing with that. Yeah. We're dealing with that.
Here's the thing. You still got years to give. So
how
do you guys kind of adjust to all these changes?
You have to adjust, and you have to adapt to, and we have, you know, I think we've tried to really hit it face on or head on, and same thing with the NIL, you know, it's been something new, and college basketball has changed more in the last 3 to 5 years than it has maybe the last 35 years combined, just with all this that has come at us and, you know, during and since COVID. So we're adapting, we're adjusting. We're going to be really good again next year. We got a lot of guys back, and we're going to add good pieces. We got two really good freshmen coming in. And again, we're always active and vigilant in the portal.
Well, he's Coach Greg Gard. Coach, appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Zach.
There he is, Greg Gard, joining us, the head coach of Wisconsin. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, live from the Phoenix Convention Center, getting you set for the men's Final Four tomorrow evening. By the way, using your phone while you're driving could kill someone. Put the phone away or pay. This is paid for by NHTSA. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, longtime friend of mine, he is on the Princeton staff. I've known this guy for many years. Brett McConnell going to join us back from Phoenix after these short messages. Update time first. Let's send it back to our New York City headquarters and standing by with the latest CBS Sports Radio update. Here he is, Rich Ackerman. All right, you're rocking and rolling from the Phoenix Convention Center. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio, gearing you up for the Final Four that comes your way tomorrow evening in the men's tournament. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question, and it's brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your questions at CBS Sports Radio, at Zach Gelb, using the hashtag AskThePros, and be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. So my first radio job out of college, I hosted on this station called 920 AM The Jersey. Actually, Stuart Kovacs, who's our usual board op, but he's off today for Yankees' home opener with the opening day. I didn't even know Stu was one of my employees there. But at this station, we had a good affiliation with the Princeton Tigers men's basketball team and also the football team. And last year, we all remember the great run that the Princeton Tigers did go on, where it did end in the Sweet 16 to Creighton. And it was so cool seeing Mitch Henderson, the head coach who played for the legendary Pete Carril as well, be a part of that run as he's the head honcho there. And then also my guy, Brett McConnell, who I would always hang out with whenever I was in the Princeton area working in Jersey. And Brett is kind enough to join us right now on set here in Phoenix, Arizona. And Brett is an assistant on the Princeton staff and will be soon, hopefully, a head coach in Division I basketball. Coach McConnell, what's happening, my friend?
It's great to be here, man, and think of how far we've come from our early days. It's awesome seeing your success, and glad we've stayed connected.
Well, you've done things. I don't know if I've done anything. You were in the Sweet 16 last year, my friend. That was, look back at that run, and I'm curious, when did it hit you? Because I remember when you guys did go up against Notre Dame when I was working in the Princeton area, and you guys were right there and missed a shot right at the buzzer. I believe that was in Buffalo. And then a few years later, you guys obviously had a great year last year, and then boom, out of nowhere, you're in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. I mean, it was a total whirlwind, right? Avalanche, tidal wave, you name it. Like, the media attention that came with that run was incredible. I tell everybody, and for a coach it's a little different, but when that game ended against Arizona, we win the game, there is still water being thrown around in the locker room, and I have my laptop out. I'm trying to get the scout ready for Missouri. I'm watching as much film as I can. So I use that, you know, 48 hours, not even quite 48 hours, in between the Arizona game and the Missouri game to really dive in and prepare the team, prepare myself as best as I could. But there was a moment in the locker room. We played where the Sacramento Kings play. And I look up at a TV, and I think Kansas was playing somebody in the tournament. And on the kind of the bottom scroll there, it's up next, number 7 seed Missouri versus number 15 seed Princeton for a trip to the Sweet 16. I'm like, that's us. We're in this, right? Like, Princeton's about to play for a trip to the Sweet 16. And then really after that game, when we had beaten Missouri, and you're celebrating with your friends, the family, the crowd, which, you know, everybody was behind us. After that win, you get a little bit of a moment to let it sink in, because there's almost, you know, 4 or 5 days before we play Creighton. But really, the further and further I get away from it, I realize how special it was, how special it is. And I know that I tell the guys on the team all the time, every 5 years, right? So that was 23, 28, 33. Like, we're getting a reunion back together. I think we're going to be honored at Jadwin Gym, and it's going to be a lifetime type of accomplishment.
So, if you ever ask a coach, like, do you expect to win a game? Yeah. Every coach is going to tell you yes. And we saw last year not only you guys take care of number 2 Arizona, but we also got to see Tobin Anderson, going to join us later, is now at Iona, but he was the coach, obviously, of Fairleigh Dickinson, and they took down Purdue. This year, Yale just did a wonderful job up against Auburn with Bruce Pearl, and you also got to see Oakland take down Kentucky. I know that the word Cinderella gets thrown out there, and people don't like to be called a Cinderella, but take me through the mentality that it did take for a 15 seed to beat a 2, and where the belief actually did grow in that locker room.
Well, you know, I think one thing, especially from a one-bid league as the Ivy League has been so far, and hopefully that changes, but you go through such a gauntlet to make the NCAA tournament. So we had to beat Penn and then Yale in the semis and the finals of our conference tournament. Those games are so hard. The pressure is intense. So I do think that takes a little bit of the pressure off. I think everybody that I've been around on the Princeton squads relishes the opportunity to be an underdog. And there's a great deal of confidence that team had growing throughout the run in March, starting with the conference tournament. And then the pressure comes off. And as that game went along against Arizona, there was a moment where Tosun took it coast to coast for a big dunk, and it was like, oh yeah, we're here, we're right in this game. We didn't even play that well offensively, Zach, but the confidence grew and grew. And then as the game got tight at the end, Arizona was tight and we were confident, we were a little bit looser, the pressure wasn't on us.
It's funny when you bring it up that way, Brett McConnell, having to get through the conference tournament, right, the two rounds, and then you look at someone like NC State, 5 games, 5 days, they win, then they get through the first weekend. And when I had Kevin Keats on, I kept on saying to him, I just can't believe you guys had the legs. And I actually thought maybe why they wouldn't get here was not the first weekend. It was the second weekend, when you get a few days off, let's just say, and you're preparing, and then you have to find a way to get right back into that mold on the court. That's why I'm blown away that this NC State team, they've never lost their legs in the incredible amount of games that they've had to play.
What an incredible run they're on. I'm having so much fun watching them. There's something, it's magic, right? The momentum that they're on, the role that they're on. They just haven't stopped, and I think they're having a lot of fun with it, and that helps a lot.
Yeah, especially when you have DJ Burns. When you have that big fella, and with his personality and his smile, and now you have this battle of hotel rooms that's going on in social media, that DJ gets a big bed, but maybe UConn is getting screwed over with Donovan Klingon not getting a large bed. There's a lot of bizarre things that happen at the NCAA tournament with March Madness.
There's some great stories with these bigs. DJ Burns, there's not a more fun guy to watch for me in the tournament. The things he can do, the way he passes the ball, the way he shares the ball. I'm having such a fun time watching NC State make this run.
And here's the interesting part, too. How many times do we hear the cliche, this time of the year, guards win, and it's all about the backcourt? You got Donovan Klingon at UConn. You got DJ Burns at NC State. And then you have Zach Edey, who's the biggest dude at Purdue. The big man game has been coming back, especially in this March Madness run.
I love it. I love it. And I think the bigs really love it, too. I heard Zach Edey talking about this, and I think they all have a chip on their shoulders. They've heard that sentiment that you discussed about guards, you know, being the guys that carry teams in March, and they're changing that narrative right now.
Talking to Brett McConnell, who's on the Princeton staff. So let's talk about your career a little bit. You've been a longtime assistant, right? You grew up in a sports kind of environment, a sports kind of culture, a lot of ties to Rutgers University as well. With your father, just now you've gotten the taste, right, of going to March Madness. You've been an assistant for a while. I know the dream is to one day be a head coach, but take me through what it's like for you coming here to the Final Four, the networking opportunities, and then also obviously all these clinics that you're running, then you're also at as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a great time first to reconnect with the people that you grew up with in the business, and you know, some of those are fellow Rutgers alums that I kind of grew up with, and it's a great career. It's a really challenging field, and these people here at the Final Four, Division III, Division II, Division I coaches, I've coached at all those levels, we all understand what it takes to be a successful head coach, and it's really special to kind of reunite with some of these people. I've absolutely loved my journey at Princeton. It's been incredible. The success, 3 straight Ivy League titles, the group of guys that I get to do it with, those guys that, you know, you remember when I was just getting started and you were around those teams. Those guys are now 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years out of college. They're my buddies. I go to their weddings. They're all having a ton of success, as you can imagine, a lot of them in your city. But it's been so special for me, and I love the run I've been on.
All right, take me inside a locker room.
Yep.
No one could beat UConn right now. No one could even keep it close with UConn. And the crazy part to me is I don't even think UConn's playing that great. Yeah. Like, they could shoot the ball better. Their offense hasn't been clicking where it normally is, but it doesn't matter. They're beating everyone by double digits. I know Alabama isn't a Cinderella. That would be like the dumbest thing someone could say. But it feels as if everyone in this tourney has been Cinderella to UConn, and UConn just keeps on saying, nope, when you play us, it's midnight. How would you try to prepare to at least give a fight, at least give a battle up against the Huskies?
Yeah, great, great question. You know, I in kind of preparation for talking about this, I asked somebody in the Big East, I asked the coach in the Big East, and you know, media members are not afraid to use hyperbole. Us coaches, we don't talk as much like that, and this guy told me it's the best college team I've ever scouted.
Wow.
So, you know, that's high praise, and it's warranted, because this is the best offense in the country and one of the top 5 best defenses in the country. I think If you're trying to beat them, the first thing that Alabama has going for them is they shoot a lot of threes. Now, that can be a high risk, high reward, but you need to take some risk if you're trying to beat the best team in the country. I think Alabama's made 11 threes in 3 of the last 4 NCAA tournament games. They're shooting 40-something percent in the NCAA tournament from 3. They're going to have to put a ton of threes up. The other thing is bringing Klingon away from the basket. Grant Nelson can play the 5. They have another big that Jaron Stevenson, who's made 32 threes. That I don't think they're used to playing at the 5. He's a little bit thin, but take some risks. Put him at the 5. Try to make your offense, you know, outweigh any defensive issues that you have. Klingon's a load on the other end, but if you can pull Klingon away from the basket, I think that's a risk worth taking to play a little small ball fives. The only other thing I can think of, Castle. There's been some teams in the Big East that maybe help off him a little bit more. He's not a great shooter. He can make you pay, of course. But again, you're taking some risks. Maybe you leave him a little bit more open so you can help on some of the other weapons. They've got so many weapons, and they're so freaking good. So you gotta pull out all the stops.
Brett McConnell here with us. He's on the Princeton Tigers staff as an assistant coach under Mitch Henderson. Here with us for a few more moments of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When I look at NC State and Purdue, my first thought are the bigs. But it's how will the game be officiated? I hope they let them play. I don't know if they will, but it's going to be intriguing to see tomorrow night.
No, that's a big factor. I've been thinking the same thing about all the bigs, and if there is another big matchup in the championship game, it'll be the same story. Can Zach Edey guard DJ Burns one on one? That to me is a major question. If you have to start doubling Burns and bring help, he's got shooters around him. He can make you pay. So can he guard him one on one? And really, I'm not sure there's a way to stop Edey. So can Burns cause enough problems that gets him in foul trouble? That could be the difference. If you want to beat Purdue, I think that might be what you need to do.
He needs to get into foul trouble. Yeah. That's the only way I think you have a chance up against Edey. When he's cutting down the nets the other day, and he doesn't even need the ladder, I'm sitting there saying, how the bleep do you stop this guy?
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy. Okay, let me ask you this, because I know you're a basketball junkie and a basketball lifer in what you do. No disrespect to the men's tournament. The men's tournament, even if the stars may not be the biggest as it's been in years past, and one and dones and transfer portal and things like that, how it's complicated a little bit of the system, the men's tournament is always going to be special, and it always paints storylines each and every year. But I find myself watching the women's tournament a ton, and I say it this way. Obviously, LSU and Iowa, everyone's going to watch. But when the game ended, I was like, oh, we also get USC and UConn, and I watched the entirety of that game. And yes, I'm here in Phoenix for the men's Final Four, but I can't wait till this show ends today to watch the two games that we have tonight with the women to see who's going to find the way to get to their championship game.
I couldn't agree more, and I can't tell you how many of my men's coaching buddies have asked me, hey, where are you watching the games tonight? And they're not talking about the men's games. They're talking about the women's games. Caitlin Clark, to me, like, I haven't had as much fun watching her as I've watched of anybody, mm-hmm. and really excited for the games tonight, too.
Yeah, and you look at Caitlin Clark, just how many more eyeballs she has brought to the sport, because I can't say she's the greatest women's college basketball player ever, because when you're in that elite fraternity, championship tiebreakers, they do play a role. She's the most prolific scorer we've ever seen in the women's game, but she's probably the most important women's college basketball player ever because of how many people are now, like 12 million people watch the Iowa LSU game. That's bonkers.
Yeah, no question. I mean, she's totally changing the landscape of women's basketball. It's awesome. I hope she gets her title. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I'm rooting a little bit here.
The only thing is, and I'm not going to doubt Caitlin Clark, but you got Gino Auriemma, you got Paige Beckers, and then even if you get through that, you got Dawn Staley, and you know my respect that I have being a Philly person,
in
the Philly area for all those years with Dawn Staley. Well, anyway, Coach, always great to see you, always great to reconnect. I know we'll stay in contact, and we'll be hearing you bitch and complain about our Mets this year through a bunch of text messages.
Oh, man, that's rough.
But really do appreciate you coming on by today.
Thanks, Zach. Thanks for having me.
There he is. He's Brett McConnell. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. By the way, we're sponsored by Duluth Trading Company. Duluth Trading Company stacks your starting lineup with higher performing gear all year round, plus keeps all your zones covered and comfy. You could online order or in store. Get into Duluth today. We got a whole lot more cooking here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're broadcasting to you live from the Phoenix Convention Center. Still to come, Clark Kellogg is going to join us. We'll have Earl Grant, the head coach at Boston College. Phil Martelli, one of my favorites, the former college basketball coach, most notably at St. Joe's. Tobin Anderson will stop by, and Jamal Mashburn as well. Here until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. We're coming on back after these short messages.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.